today as we come to the table.
But whatever God has asked us to do as a husband or a wife in this whole process, the issue is between us and our God. The issue is not between us and our spouse. Wives, it's not an issue of whether your husband's worthy or not. It's an issue of, this is the issue between you and your God. And are you going to obey him or disobey him? That's really what it boils down to. The point is, you may not be able to do this for your husband's sake, especially if he's ungodly or not walking with the Lord. But if you do it for Jesus' sake, simply because he's asked and you desire to obey him, you will have a new focus, new motivation, and ultimate success.
We are all driven by the desire to succeed. We all want our focus to be on the end result, whether at work or in relationships. Even in a marriage, couples have desires that they want to achieve, but they frequently fail to do so. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. Disagreements and arguments stand in the way of them accomplishing what God desires of them. How can you, as a spouse, concentrate on your goal? In today's message, Pastor Mark tells you how you and your spouse can succeed in your marriage by resolving your own issues with God. You can learn God's will for your marriage and your spouse by resolving your issues and rely on God to guide you. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, as he continues his message, The Bible, God's Instruction Manual for Marriage.
It's interesting. In James 4:1, it says this, "Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members?" And he's saying, if you closely examine your marital fights, you'll find they stem from something either you or your spouse wants. And the willingness to yield and lay that down will always calm the situation. The only way that I have ever been able to see that operate in my life is by the power of the Holy Spirit. I, by nature, do not get up and say, okay, tonight I'm going to deny myself today. Everything anybody else wants. You want to pull in front of me, cut me off, go ahead, blow the horn and yell. I'll just wave and smile. I mean, and you know what, my wife, if no matter what happens, everything's okay. No, I get up in this mode of, I got to take care of me today. And how am I going to take care of me? And, you know, this whole kind of thing or whatever. And yet God says, no, now we need to rise to a higher plane by saying, God, I give you today. And I ask that you would help me by the Holy Spirit. And we're still going to blow it, aren't we? We still do. And yet God says, I'm going to give you the ability to do it by my Spirit if you'll simply ask me. So giving in and submitting to one another will do away with this. But again, this is only done by the power of the Spirit as a foundational element here. And now this brings us up to the instruction for the wives. Notice he starts here in verse 22. He says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." Notice, first he says, "Your wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord." It's interesting to me that God only gives one main command and instruction for the wife. And that is submit to your husband. In Titus 2:4, he adds that they should love their husbands, but submitting is the main directive here. And why is it the main directive? Well, as we saw last week, it was God's design from the beginning that the wife was to be a helper, not the leader. And so God has a certain order, and God has a certain structure that he's lined up. Now, as we discussed last week, submission is not a bad thing, although it has been presented that way in our society. There may have been some of you, when I said the word submission, that it made your hair bristle on the back of your neck. And let me say this as well, especially if you're not in the greatest of marriages right now, I mean, as far as difficulties. But we need to understand what godly submission is, not the world's definition of submission. What is the biblical definition of submission, and how can we apply that to our lives, especially if we're the one hurting or going through hard times or maybe even just wanting to learn? Well, it's interesting that Philippians says that Jesus submitted to the Father, although he was completely equal to the Father in all ways while here on the earth. Now, note that. If Jesus saw it righteous to submit to the Father, yet was equal in all ways, certainly we can and should as well. I think Jesus is the classic example here that submission is not a sign of weakness or inferiority. It is simply God's design and order for the marriage in this life. And it'll not be so in the kingdom in the next. Note this, guys. This is a temporary world we live in. This is how it is for now. God has set up a certain structure for this environment we're in. Everything changes when the kingdom starts. Everything. The Bible says we'll not be given in marriage anymore to husband and wife. And I know for some people, they say, that makes me sad. Listen, all I can say is that God has a higher standard for us, a higher calling, and we're not going to be sad. I promise you. When we get to the kingdom, it's going to be so much better the way God has designed it. The only reason we get sad is because we can't understand it. But it's going to be so much better when we get there. But understand, there's not going to be this husband-wife structure of the home when we go into the kingdom. We're now just children of God. But for this temporary time here on the earth, God has said, in order for this thing to function properly, I'm going to give you certain things as to how to function properly. And here's the instruction manual to make it function properly. Even as Jesus, when he came into this world, came under the Father and submitted to the Father, yet he was God. God himself submitting under God in the Trinity, if you will, because that was the divine order that was needed for this world to function properly. It's not that way now. Now that Jesus is in the kingdom, now it's this equality on the Trinity level, if you will. The same thing is going to be true for marriage, but in this particular life, the way God has set it up is that we have certain ways things are to be done. And so, again, as Jesus submitted to the Father, he was following God's proper order that he might be successful in fulfilling his call. While on this earth, the same is true for the wife. There's a certain thing that God has designed for things to function properly down here in this particular realm. Now, it's interesting. The word submit here is a military word that means to line up in rank, which is essential for success in battle. And guys, might I note and might I add that we as families are in a spiritual battle, led by our commander-in-chief who is God. And without proper order, it would be chaotic and unsuccessful. You know, war is hard enough without everybody deciding they're going to do things their way. Try to imagine in Iraq or Afghanistan or any war that you'd ever see, if all of a sudden the commander gets up and says, all right, now, we need to work as a team. Here's the battle plan. We're going to do this. We're going to break up, and this group's there. You guys are going that way. We're going this way. And all of a sudden all the guys say, well, we're not doing that. What do you mean you're not doing that? You know, no, we're not doing that. We're going to do things our way, and we're going to, you know, we think we have a better plan or whatever. It would be chaotic. And it would be destructive. The entire military would be wiped out, and there would be no success in battle. The same is true, moms and dads, even as parents, and husbands and wives in your marriage. There's got to be this structure set up so that it can function properly, or it's going to be disastrous. It just can't work any other way, and that's why God, again, has told us how it will work. Now, notice it says here, submit as to the Lord. And so what's the point here? Well, by submitting to your husband, you are in essence submitting to the Lord in that you're obeying the Lord's command. Remember, the issue is not your husband. The issue is the Lord and what God has asked us to do. I think it's interesting, but I have to point this out. The ability of the wife to submit to her husband is a direct reflection of her ability to submit to the Lord. And although that may sound firm, the reason is because it's not what her husband is asking her to do. It's what the Lord's asking. And so in a desire to be obedient to the Lord, we say, God, you know what? I'm going to do what you've asked me to do, even though my flesh doesn't want to, even though I don't understand it. You've asked me to do it, and I'm going to do it. But then the question comes up, or you might say, but he's not worthy to be submitted to. Some of you wives right now, this guy's not worthy to be submitted to. I mean, this guy's a mess. Well, you don't do it because he's worthy. You do it because God asked you to. And here's where I encourage the husbands and the wives. Whenever we do what God has asked us to do, and don't worry, men, we're next week. But whatever God has asked us to do as a husband or a wife in this whole process, the issue is between us and our God. The issue is not between us and our spouse. Wives, it's not an issue of whether your husband's worthy or not. It's an issue of, this is the issue between you and your God. And are you going to obey him or disobey him? That's really what it boils down to. The point is, you may not be able to do this for your husband's sake, especially if he's ungodly or not walking with the Lord. But if you do it for Jesus' sake, simply because he's asked and you desire to obey him, you will have a new focus, new motivation, and ultimate success in what God has called you to do. There's encouragement. There's hope in it. Again, submission does not mean that the wife is lifeless and has no input in the family. Now, again, I know that some men would like to use it that way. And it seems that sometimes the unbelieving men, that's the only scripture they know of all the Bible. Wives, submit to your husband. You know, it's the only thing they know. They don't know the part about lay your life down as Christ died for the church and sacrificed himself for her sake. You know, if a husband lays his life down for his wife, she's not going to have any problem following that lead. The struggle comes in when he's not doing his part. But at the same time, God says, whether he is or not, you need to be doing what you're called to do. So it doesn't mean the wife is lifeless and has no input. On the contrary, God has given the wife as a helper. And we as husbands need help greatly. You know, this only means that the ultimate family direction and decisions fall on the husband, not that he's an unquestioned dictator or always right. It just means that God's going to hold him accountable. And so because God's going to hold him accountable, make it easier on him. You know, it's interesting. Years ago, there was a time where Tracy had moved in. She was single at the time, and she'd moved in with her pastor and pastor's wife because she had, at that time, nowhere to live, and they let her stay there for a while. And she, you know, God really used that in the time to grow her and mature her. But one of the things that she said that really struck out to me was, is, you know, the Bible says that for those who rule over you in the Lord, be a blessing to them. You know, don't be a burden. Be a blessing to them. Try to make their lives better and easier, not harder. And her goal was to do that when she was there, was to make their life easier and to be a blessing to them, not to be a burden, especially when you're moving into someone else's house. You know, you want to be that blessing. You know, you want to help out. You want to do those things. Well, the same thing is true in the marriage. When it comes to the relationship, not just for the husband to be a servant to the wife, which we'll talk about next week, but for the wife now to be a blessing to the husband. He's the one that's ultimately responsible before the Lord, and he needs all the encouragement and all the help that he can get. You know, it's interesting when we talk about the wife and her role in the relationship and having the input. When Sarah insisted that Hagar and Ishmael needed to leave, although Abraham didn't like it, God spoke to him and said, Abraham, Sarah is right. Yes, I know you're the head of the household, but what Sarah is saying is from me, and you need to listen to your wife. And a wise man will always listen to his wife because God speaks to us through our wives. And oftentimes the things that we can't hear from the Lord because of whatever diversions we have, God uses our wife to speak to us. And so we need to be open to listen. But Sarah had told him, no, they've got to go. And God came back and reinforced it and said, Abraham, you know what? They've got to go. And so God used Sarah to direct there. So as his helper, you need to let your view be known, but then step back and allow God to direct his heart as to what should ultimately be done. And that's how it's supposed to function. Notice he goes on in verse 23 and says this, for the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Now, Paul introduces the idea that marriage was created by God to be a picture of God's work between Jesus and his bride, the church. And remember, we touched on this last week. He compares the husband as head of the wife to Christ as head of the church, which again shows us a much higher purpose for the wife in her role with her husband and submitting to her husband than simply having order in the family. It's actually a testimony to the world of Jesus Christ and his church. Did you ever think of your marriage as being a testimony to the world? If we do it the right way, it is. People watch us as husbands. How do we treat our wife? Do we treat our wife in such a way that when someone sees us with our wife, they say, that's how the Lord treats the church? Now, again, I know this is a high standard, and I apply it to myself. This is not speaking perfection. This is simply a challenge so that we can say, God, I need your help. I need the Holy Spirit in my life to be able to do this. And what I'm called as a husband, my wife needs the Holy Spirit to do what she's called to do as a wife. And both of us are fighting with this thing we call the flesh. Here's the point. The wife submitting to her husband is a picture of Christ submitting to Jesus Christ. And it's a living testimony to the world around us. You know, in the day and age that we live in, wives, what do you think the response of the world around you would be if they saw you letting your husband not only lead your family, but joyfully trusting in the Lord in the midst of it? That's major. That is so contrary to our society. It's so contrary to what's taught. I think after the shock wore off, they'd want to know why you're doing it. And then they'd want to know how you're doing it. And see, this is where the door opens up now to be a witness. You want to know why I'm doing this? Because here's what the Bible says. And Jesus Christ died for his church. And his church gives their life and submits to him. And you know what? God uses marriage to be a picture of that to a world that needs him. And you know what you've seen in our marriage? You know what you've seen in our family? That's because God wants a relationship with you. And he wants you to know Jesus Christ, his son. He wants you to be his bride and to be joined to his son. What a great testimony. Again, people see that. You might not think they see it, but they do see it. And notice he goes on here and says in verse 24, therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now, here's the hard part. Notice this, in everything. How much is everything? Now, it doesn't mean that the husband is skilled in everything and that he's the master of everything, only that he's ultimately responsible for everything. And so God is asking the wife to allow him to lead. God's going to hold the husband accountable for what he does with his wife and how well he molds her and shapes her and develops her. And so God's going to hold that accountable. So again, he says, but so be submissive in everything so that he can have that freedom and leadership. But it doesn't mean that the wife doesn't have her part. It doesn't mean that you don't confer about family decisions. It doesn't mean that you don't work together in different issues. You know, I am terrible at numbers, and Tracy is great with numbers. So although I'm ultimately responsible as the overseer of our family, and finances is included in that, she takes care of the books. Now, why? Because it'd be disastrous if I did. And this is how we complement each other. The areas where I'm weak, she is strong. The areas where she is weak, I'm strong. And so we work together, and we can resolve these things. Does everything include major family decisions? Yes, it does. But again, it doesn't mean that the wife is not a part of the process. I think sometimes we picture this whole thing of the wife's role as sitting back and never saying anything. No, as a matter of fact, you're supposed to be a part of marriage. It's a teamwork. You talk about family decisions. You talk about whether you should move or not. You talk about whether or not the job transfer should be done. You talk about the direction of your family, how the kids should be disciplined. And all these things are discussed and need to be agreed upon by husband and wife. It's not that the wife does not have just as much input as the husband. Here's the only difference, that in this particular order and structure down here, God says when all is laid out on the table and everything is done, if there is a difference in agreement, then the husband is to take his direction. Because God says, I will work through the husband to give the direction, even if the wife can't see it. That doesn't mean the husband's always right. That's not the point either. But God is saying in these things, the husband is ultimately responsible. Now, you might be saying, but I'm afraid he's going to make the wrong decision. And I just shudder if I think about, you know, Tracy looking at me thinking, all right, I got to follow this guy. And he's got to make all the right decisions. That's scary. I know me. And yet the bottom line is, this is where you have to learn to trust the Lord and say, God, I'm going to trust in you to lead through my husband. You know, he may not be the best leader. He may not be the smartest guy in the world in some things. But you know what, Lord, I'm going to trust in you to lead through him. You know, it's interesting. God doesn't say we have to be real smart or real gifted in order to be able to follow him, does he? He just says we need to be in prayer and asking for God's leading by God's Spirit. And God says, I'll be faithful to do it. And I want to say this to the wives as well. Even if your husband does something foolish, God is more than able to protect you if you're doing what he's asked you to do. Remember Abraham and Sarah. They go down to Egypt, and Abraham was afraid to just tell the truth. Say, hey, this is my wife. And instead of saying, this is my wife, he said, look, tell him that you're my sister. And so that when we get down there, because I know what's going to happen. I mean, now this is, they're already up into grandma and grandpa years, okay? And he's worried that she's such a looker that they're going to take her. Now, I think that's sweet, number one. But secondly, she obviously was, even at that age, still very attractive. And so he says, because Pharaoh indeed did. He got down there and said, look, they may kill me and take you to be part of the harem. So just say you're my sister. Well, they came and they got her and they took her there. And Sarah's got to be thinking, look, I went along with this, but now look where I am. I may end up in some guy's harem. What's going on here? Lord, I'm trying to follow the lead of Abraham. But what's happening here? And I don't know what Sarah thought. It doesn't tell us what she thought. But let me just say this. That would have to be a scary position to be in. Here's what I find encouraging for you as wives in this. Listen, although it wasn't the wisest decision by Abraham, although it was, I would say, a bad decision by Abraham, Sarah still did it without complaining or revealing it, so to speak, and God was faithful to honor her and protect her in the midst of it. And I believe the same principle passes on to the wife today. If you will say, Lord, I'm going to put my trust in you, and even if he does something that I think is foolish for our family or is not the right direction, once I have shared my opinion, once we have discussed it, if he still feels strongly we should go that way, I'm going to stand with him and we're going that way. And God says, if you will do that, I will be faithful to guard and I'll be faithful to protect. That takes a step of faith. It's not done again by the flesh. And notice here, lastly, is the wife, and I want to just point this out because as we talk about the wife submitting and everything, I have to bring this up, is the wife to submit to her husband no matter what he asks her to do? The answer is absolutely not. I remember a story a while back of a particular man, true story, where he asked his wife, you know, he was apparently an unbeliever and she was a believer, and he said, all right, he knew the scripture, wives are supposed to follow the lead of their husband and all this. He said, all right, you need to go with me to the clubs. We're going to go and we're going to party and you have to go with me. Doesn't your Bible say, you know, submit to husbands, you know, and all this stuff? So you need to do it. She was in a quandary. What do I do? Do I do what my husband's asked me to do because I know that it's sinful, something is wrong here? You know, no, the answer is no, you don't do that because there's a higher authority. See, here's, ladies, where it comes in. When God asks you to do something, or rather, when your husband asks you to do something that is sinful or against the word of God, you've got to divert to a higher authority. And you might say, you know what, I love you and I respect you and I want to be the best wife that I can be, but this right here goes against what God has told me to do in his word and I can't follow you in this path. That is not disobedience. That is not disrespect. The same thing follows true when it comes to governments. In Romans 13, it says, for all of us, the church, come under the governing authorities. But if the governing authorities tell us to do something that's sinful, what are we going to do? We have to say, I'm sorry, I have to decline that. It's like Peter and John said to the Sanhedrin, whether it be right to you to do what man says or obey the commands of God, you decide. But we're going to obey the commands of God. And let me say this too. Not only is it okay to, again, in situations like that, say, no, I can't go along with that. But what about if your husband makes a decision and you go, you know what? I know this is a wrong decision. Do I just drop it or can I make an appeal? Listen, you need to make an appeal. You need to go to your husband and say, look, let's talk about this again. Look at the facts. Look what's going to happen here to our family if you do this. But then once the appeal is made, what the Lord is saying is you need to trust me and you need to know that I'm going to ultimately hold him accountable. I'm not going to hold you responsible. And I have the ability to move in his life and to work in his life. So guys, where does this leave us in looking at further marriage foundation and the wives today? Here's the question. So how do I submit to my husband? In the biblical definition, first of all, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Simply do what God has asked you to do and trust in the Lord to work out the details in your spouse. And God will be faithful. And let me add this as well. Your reward will be great in heaven. Secondly, wives, don't be overwhelmed with what you've heard today. It's all a work of the Spirit over time through God's word and through prayer. Remember, we've held up the ultimate standard of what God holds is what we're supposed to do. God doesn't expect us to be perfect. And no one certainly, especially when they first hear something or begin to learn, can just be there. And this is where I said at the beginning is where as husbands, we have to be gracious and merciful with our wives. And next week when we go through the husbands, the wives need to be gracious with their husbands as well. Because it's not something that happens overnight. It takes work and it takes a work of the Spirit. God would never ask you to do anything that he would not make possible. And even as he has called you to be your husband's helper, he's also said that he himself will be your helper. And so lastly, husbands, again, as I said, we need to, especially after a teaching like this, be very gracious with our wives. And especially if we're having marital difficulties, don't go home and use this as a weapon. Simply wait on the Lord and let him work in your marriage. You know, the best way to tear down your wife and destroy your marriage is to use the word of God as a sword for stabbing, rather than letting God use his word as a scalpel for surgery. So remember, as you look at this, guys, you've got yours next week. We need to pray for each other. We need to pray. Say, God, have mercy on us. We need to realize that we're flesh and that we're sinners and that we're weak and that God's standard is perfect. God doesn't, again, say, I expect it overnight. God simply says, listen, here's what I've given in the instruction manual. If you'll simply apply this by the power of the Holy Spirit and allow me to do this in your life, I will give you a successful marriage and I will use you as a witness for my kingdom. That's the Lord's desire. And that's what the Holy Spirit desires to do in our hearts today. Why don't we pray? Lord, as we look at this subject today, it's a rather sobering subject. And next week as well, Lord, will be sobering for us as men into what you've called us to do and what you've called us to be. Lord, it's not something we can't attain. It's not in the heavens that we can't reach it. It's not under the earth that we can't dig to it. Lord, it's simply a matter of knowing what your word says and applying the instruction manual through the power of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, making mistakes all along the way and failing all along the way. But Lord, I thank you that you have given us the instruction manual so that we might know how marriage is supposed to work, that we might understand what its function is in our life. And Lord, I pray that you would bless our marriages. I pray most of all, Lord, that you would help us to, Lord, to have the walk with you that you want us to have. And God, I know that if we have our relationship with you the way you want it to be, you'll take care of the rest. We thank you, Lord, and we pray for your grace and your mercy and your strength and your ability to do what it is that you have called us to do. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for joining us as we come to the table of God's Word with Pastor Mark Kirk. In this series, Pastor Mark is teaching from the book of Genesis. Genesis is a book that covers genealogy, world history, and God's promises. It was written by Moses to those who perhaps needed the reminder of how God came through for his people, no matter what. Do you need this reminder today? We're so glad you decided to join us for this series. There's nothing greater than spending time together at the feet of our Lord. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville. If you're in the Knoxville, Tennessee area, we'd love to see you in person. We have services on Saturday at 6 p.m., Sunday at 9:30 and 11:15 a.m., and Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. If you're interested, go to thewaymedia.net and scroll to the bottom of the page. You'll notice a link to Calvary Knoxville. If you can't make it in person, you can find all sorts of messages available at thewaymedia.net. Or you can download these messages too on the Way Media app. Find it at your Apple App Store or Google Play Store. We're about out of time for today's edition, but we want to hear from you. Would you give us a call and let us know what you've been learning from Genesis? Our number is 865-609-1385. Once more, that's 865-609-1385. Pastor Mark has more to share with us as we go verse by verse through this book of beginnings. Keep reading, so you'll be ready to dig through Genesis the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.